Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Sure is good to be back with you tonight. Amen. Amen. We just thank the Lord for His grace to us. Another service we can gather and serve Him. Amen. Amen. Thank you, musicians. Praise the Lord. Again, we just want to continue to remember Brother Baker and Sister Baker as they're traveling. I believe they'll be traveling home later this week. Amen. So they're getting a nice good trip in. And just pray that the Lord would be with them. Amen. Amen. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer as we just change the order of the service. Look to the Word tonight. Father, we are so grateful, Lord, that You have given us Your Word, Lord. And, Father, when all things around us are shaking sands, Lord, men's opinions and science and all things are saying different things and changing their arguments, Lord, Your Word stands alone. Your Word stands true. And it never fails, Lord. It's a firm foundation. So we're just grateful, Lord, that You've given us Your Word. Lord, that You've vindicated it, Lord, to us, and that You've revealed it to us, Lord. And, Father, that it's something that we just cherish, Lord. And so we're thankful for these times, Father, when we can gather in Your name. And, Lord, we can receive from Your Word, Lord. It's our daily bread. And, Father, we just certainly ask tonight that You'd grant that, Lord, that You would just prepare a meal for us, Lord. Like You did on the shores of Galilee, the disciples were out fishing and there was someone on the shore cooking a fish and preparing a meal. Lord, we desire that tonight, Lord. Bread and fish upon the fire, Lord. The living Word to feed our souls. We love You, we thank You, and we just know, Lord, that You're going to have Your way tonight, Lord, as we surrender to You. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's just read a scripture here tonight while I still have you standing. We'd like to read out of 2 Peter, the first 8 verses here of 2 Peter chapter 1. And we're going to do a fair bit of reading tonight as my voice is quickly fleeing me. Amen. But pray that we'll be able to get through that tonight. Amen. But 2 Peter 1 verse 1 says, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle to Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. So is He speaking to you tonight? Yes. Amen. Amen. To them that have obtained like precious faith. Amen. This is the message to you tonight. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Amen. Through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside all of this, if that wasn't enough, there's more. Giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And then Ephesians 6:11. It says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, and against spiritual wickedness in high places. Amen. Praise the Lord. You can be seated tonight. We'd like to just take a subject tonight of equipped for the age. And like I said, I'm going to, there's a bunch of things that I'm just going to read here tonight as well. As we get towards the end, by God's grace, save the voice just a little bit, but I'm led to do that. So we'll do that here tonight. But, you know, like we were talking about this morning, talking about Victory Day and how that we are caught up in a great battle. Amen. Amen. And that, you know, we say we're caught up in it because we didn't choose to engage in this battle, but simply being born into the human race. Amen. We entered a battle. We entered this earth in a state of sin, and we entered with an enemy already arrayed against us. Amen. And we saw in the scripture how the enemy, before we had ever even appeared on the earth, the enemy had decided in his heart to rebel against God and to exalt himself above the stars of God and to be exalted into heaven. And so he declared war on the kingdom of heaven, and he declared war on God's, everything that God was doing. And the primary thing that God was doing was through man. Amen. His children, his offspring, the climax of his creation was his children. And so Satan, of course, went right for that and began attacking. And to this day, we are still in a battle. Amen. So we are caught up in this battle. We are fighting it. We are on the front lines of it every day. We are challenged as believers. Amen. We are challenged by the enemy. Whether it's spiritually, emotionally, or physically, the enemy is coming against you. He's challenging your position. Amen. He challenges who you are. He challenges your place in Christ. Amen. He challenges your authority in the kingdom of heaven. Yes, sir. Amen. The powers of darkness are arrayed against you tonight. Amen. He has had thousands of years to perfect his arguments and to perfect his tactics and how he attacks the children of God. He's crafty, amen, and he's honed that craft. Amen. He's had lots and lots. He's had millions of people to test it out on. And he's slowly been perfecting it all the way up until today. He's the best at it today as he's ever been. Amen. Warring against mankind. And he is the ruler of this fallen earth. We know that that's true. Because he offered the kingdoms of this earth to Jesus. And Jesus didn't dispute with him that he had control of them. Amen. He's the ruler of this fallen earth temporarily. Because he's not the rightful ruler of it. But he's taken over because of man's temporary fall. Amen. But because of this, his forces never miss an opportunity to come against a child of God, to attack a child of God. He's always on the job. He comes to every church service. Amen. Even if you don't come, he's here. Some of his minions are here. Amen. They're here, and they come and occupy the seats, and they come and tempt and test and probe and try and everything that they can do to hinder somebody. Amen. They'll do it. And he challenges you. He lies to you. Amen. He's bold about it. He comes up against you. Think about the boldness it takes to come up against Almighty God. The brashness, the audacity to fight against God. And yet he does it. Amen. So he's not scared to come up against you to attack. He doesn't shrink back from that. He's happy to do it. He enjoys it. Amen? He attacks your salvation. He comes against your health and your well-being. Is that right? He's trying to tempt you to break God's word. Any way that he can. He's trying to get you to disbelieve God's word. That's always his goal. Amen? But brother, sister, we want to be encouraged tonight.
Amen.
That even though we are in the greatest battle that's ever been fought, even though there's a war going on, and we know that that war starts in the human mind, and it's a battle that's being waged in our lives. Amen? We should be encouraged tonight because of two things. One, we are not alone in this fight.
Amen?
Amen? And two, we've been given everything we need to overcome.
Amen.
And to win the victory. Amen. Hallelujah. So we just want to, tonight, remind ourselves, encourage ourselves in the Word of God, that we are fully equipped. Not in and of ourselves, but what God has given us. Amen. We must be fully convinced before you go into a battle. You can't go into a battle wondering, well, I don't know if what I have is good enough.
Right?
You're wondering, you know, they've got this and I've got that. I don't know if it's going to be sufficient. I really feel for, you know, some of the ancient armies, some of the great armies of old, the way that they won great victories against bigger armies and bigger nations and things was because, well, hey, we've got iron and they've got bronze, you know? One's in the Iron Age and one's in the Bronze Age. And the guys with iron, they just whack them and the bronze swords are cracking and breaking and, right? That would, how discouraging would that be? To know, here we're going in against an enemy, and my very life depends on it. My nation depends on it. And I've got a weapon that I'm not sure of. Amen? But we've got to know that what we've been given is more than enough. Amen. I'm sorry to keep picking on you, Brother West, but I guess it's just timely. The time of life that you're in, being back from, amen, just starting out basic training in the Marine Corps. And I was thinking about, and I suppose you probably had to learn this, but in the end of World War II, there was a general that implemented something that they called the Rifleman's Creed. Amen. And I guess they still learn it today in the Marine Corps. Yeah, he nodded yes, so he probably had to learn this. And it goes, it speaks about the weapon of their warfare. Amen. And it goes something like this. I'm not going to read you the whole thing, but I'll read a little bit of it. It says, "This is my rifle. There are many like it, but this one is mine." Amen. How many can say that about your sword tonight? Amen. "This is my weapon." Amen. "There are many like it." You've got a copy. There are millions of copies, but this one is mine. Amen. "My rifle is my best friend. It is my life. I must master it as I must master my life. My rifle without me is useless." And it goes on and on and on. You get the idea though, right? Inspiring confidence in what you've been given. How can you go into battle not knowing if your weapon is going to malfunction or if not even knowing how to use it? Amen? God has equipped us with His Word. And by His Spirit, anointing His Word, it is more than enough.
Amen.
And you've got to believe that tonight.
Amen.
Amen? This was the great dispute that Israel had at Kadesh Barnea when it was time to cross into the Promised Land. And why they didn't go forward. Joshua and Caleb were trying to convince them. We are more than able. What God has given us is more than enough. What we have, what He promised us, is enough to conquer the land, to take on the giants. I don't care what's there. He's promised it. And He was trying to get them to have confidence in what God had already given to them. Amen? What we have on our side is more than enough. And we've got to be convinced of that tonight. Right. Who's on my side? What I've got on my side is more than enough. Any demon that would attack me, what I have on my side is more than enough. Amen. What this sinful world has to offer, what I have on my side, is more than enough. We've got to be convinced of that if we are going to walk in our promised land. If we're going to walk in our promise, in our inheritance. If we're going to step foot in what God has promised to us. We must know that what is arrayed on our side is greater than what is against us. That is greater than what anything that the enemy can come up with. Amen? Here in America with our armed forces, we have always had this doctrine of overwhelming force. Amen? Whatever it takes, we're going to throw it at the enemy. And we're going to make sure that we've got the best of the best. Well, do you think God would come behind in any good thing for his children? Wouldn't he give them the best of the best? Amen? We've got to believe it, though. We've got to step out on faith. We've got to take a step into our land. Amen? And believe and know beyond a shadow of a doubt that the weapon that we are holding is more than able. That will overcome our enemy every single time. If we don't have that confidence, we will be tentative. Right? We won't be sure. We'll kind of test the waters a little bit. Right? Well, I don't know. I'm going to try this and I'll try that. Amen? That's, you know, when Brother Doug talks about people coming up to prayer. He said people will come up and try. Right? That's not what we're doing. We're not testing. We're not trying here. We're walking. We're standing on the Word of God. We're believing it. We're not just going to, well, let's try this and let's try that. Right? That's people do that with religion. Well, I'll try this church and I'll try that and I'll try this religion. And no, you've got to get to the place where you've had a showdown with God. And you know that his word is true. And not only that it's true, but it's true for you. Amen. That it's your weapon. Amen. Those guys that are learning that Rifleman's Creed. Well, what they're doing is they have to take that thing apart. They have to learn it inside and out and sleep with it and all kinds of things. They've got to know it. They got to know it so they can depend on it because their life depends on it. But our God is a provider. Amen? He is our provider. And it's in his nature to provide what we have need of. I mean, doesn't Jesus speak to it all through the New Testament? But, you know, it comes in parables, right? Doesn't your Father know what you have need of? I mean, he talks about the birds of the field and, you know, the different things in nature. And they're provided for. And doesn't your Father know what you have need of? Didn't he know what you would need in this time? Didn't he know what you would need to fight your battles in 2025? Didn't he know? Amen. And isn't he a provider? Hallelujah. I'm so encouraged when I look at nature, brother, sister. When I just think about the amazing things that God has made. Amen. And how he provides for them. Over and over and over in nature, he proves that he is a provider, that he is a good God. He has designed plants and animals to perfectly thrive in whatever environment that they're in. And while science would like to cast it off as adaptation, well, this one has adapted perfectly to this. Isn't that amazing how it you know, somehow at the molecular level, it figured out that if it did this, it's perfect for this environment, right? I'm sure there are some, there is adaptation that takes place. Don't get me wrong. But there's a lot that was perfectly designed. Yeah. Amen. Amazingly harsh environments on earth. You think Laodicea is a hard environment. Amen. There's some harsh environments on earth. Places where it's real, real hot and real, real cold. Amen. And yet you will find, this is an amazing thing, you will find life thriving just about everywhere on earth. There are almost no places on earth where there isn't some form of life. There's even life in volcanoes. Did you know that? There's life down in, we were up at, as you go up I-17 towards Flagstaff, there's that Montezuma's Well out there. And it's this huge, deep, water feature that just goes beyond, down so deep. They don't even know where the bottom is. They don't know how deep it is, actually. And it has its own ecosystem in there. And there are little organisms that live down in that thing that don't live anywhere else in the world. And God gave them exactly what they need to thrive just in the environment where they're at. You know, down in the bottom of the ocean, the deepest part of the ocean, there are animals and things that fish and things that live down there. The light of day never shines there. There's no light. They say that there's something like at the bottom of the, I think it's the Marianas Trench, right? It's like the deepest part. They say that down there at the bottom, the pressure, it's like 15,000 PSI of pressure. He said, well, I don't know. That doesn't mean anything to me. Well, you know where the Titanic went down, where that crushed that submarine? That's 5,000 PSI. One third. So you multiply that times three. And there's little things living down there. And they're not just living, they're thriving. They're having a great time. They're made for it. They've got all the right tools, all the right senses. God gave them everything that they need. And man, they're just happy as can be. Living down there under 15,000 pounds per square inch in the dark. You go down there, you're gone. You're not made for it. Right? But they're made for it. They're equipped for the job that God gave them to do. Amen? An eagle is equipped for the job that it's made to do. It can fly higher than the other birds. It's pressurized. Its eyesight is perfect for that task. Amen? An owl can't do that. But an owl, it can fly around at night, not run into things, and catch food. Eagles don't do that. They're perfectly made for what God has intended them to be and to do. Amen. Oh, I love that. Amen. You ever see those little mountain goats? Man, I don't know how they don't fall. I mean, they're walking on little, it's like that wide. And they're running up, and it's like steep like this, and somehow they're hanging on the edge of it. They're like spiders with horns. It's crazy, right? You've probably seen that, right? How do they do that? God made them that way. I can't do that. But God didn't call me to do that. I am not called to be, running around the sheer cliffs in the mountains. That's for mountain goats. But he gave them what they have need of. He made them. He gave them exactly the tools, the design, to be able to survive and thrive exactly where he placed them. Amen? Amen. So what about you? Amen. Well, I don't know. I'm just, no. Are you a child of God? Amen? Every child of God has his footsteps ordered. He or she was placed in a specific time and place. Amen. God knows the very hairs of your head. He placed you here with full well knowledge of everything that you would be facing. And he's a good father. Amen. And he's given you spiritually everything that you need to live and to thrive, spiritually speaking, in Laodicea, in this last age, in this time that the Bible says would be a lukewarm age. Is that right? So we've got to accept that, brother, sister. Amen? And the thing is, we can't try and add to or take away what God has given us. Using our natural example, well, you know, because of our natural ability as humans, we can adapt and we can make technology. And so we can go pretty deep down in the ocean and maybe we can survive, you know, maybe we can hang with rope where the mountain goats go. We can do some of those things because of our intellect. But don't try that spiritually. Amen? Don't try that spiritually. Spiritually, we've got to take just what God gave us. He gave us his pure, unadulterated word. And we've got to stay with that and not substitute. Amen? We can't substitute man's intellect or man's technology for what God has given us, because it won't work in the spirit realm. Amen. That's exactly what our prophet preached against. Amen. Substituting or trying to add to or take away what God has already given. Because we wanted something that looks a little better. Something that seems like it fits a little bit, it's a little more palatable to our reasoning. Amen? That's the trick of the enemy, to get you to lay down what God has given you and pick up something else. Amen. At Kadesh Barnea, he just convinced them to just lay it down, to not have confidence in it. So if he can get you to lay it down, if he can convince you to not have confidence in it, if he can convince you to take a substitute, that's what he'll do. Amen? David had been equipped by the trials. He had been equipped by the experiences that he had gone through with God. And so he knew what he could do with his God-given abilities, with his God-given talents, with the spirit anointing that was on him. Amen? And so he picked up five stones, F-A-I-T-H, G-R-A-C-E, grace and faith, amen? And that's what he was going to use to go against the giant. And it was Saul that tried to give him man's armor. Right? That said, look, that's nice, look, sonny boy, right? That's cute. Oh, you just believe God, and oh, you just have faith, and oh, you just... you know, you're trusting in grace, and oh, you just believe God's word, and oh, that's nice, but that doesn't fit science. That doesn't fit our modern thinking. We're so much smarter now. Oh, that was Saul. Amen? That was Saul trying to give him, exchange to him, man's doctrine, man's ways, man's approach to doing things. Amen? But he had a revelation that God was with him. And he had a little tool, and he didn't know, you know, there might have been better tools or whatever, but he knew that God had blessed him, had given him something, and he wanted to stay with just what God had given him. Amen. And he had seen God bless him before with it. And so he was staying with it. Amen. He didn't want to take another man's idea instead of the revelation that he got from God. That's why it's so important for us to hear from God ourselves. Amen? I can't give you that revelation. No one can give that to you, but you've got to hear from him yourself. Amen? David had heard from him, and so Saul, meaning well, is trying to help, but there's no substitute. Somebody else's idea for the revelation that David had from God. Amen. You know, Gideon was another one in the Old Testament where they had he had an army, and then he said, well, you know, let's pare things down a little bit. Got too many. That's unusual, right? Usually it's, we don't have enough. Nope, we got too many. Well, let's give them this test. Okay, send all them home. Oh, still too many. Let's have another test. Send all of them home. And somebody who is skilled in the art of war is standing there shaking their head going, what kind of army is this? Amen. Everything that we're doing, all we're doing is making ourselves weaker and weaker and weaker. Boy, it doesn't make sense to the natural mind. Amen. But God was proving a point. Amen. That he was the difference maker. Amen. It wasn't the number of men or the quality of men or anything about the men other than God was with them. Hallelujah. He was the one that was going to fight their battles. He was the one that was going to prepare the way for them. Hallelujah. And he wanted their confidence to be in that. If they had big numbers, if they had a bigger army, they'd be like, well, you know, hey, we got these guys, and, you know, that's where their confidence would be. But as it got smaller and smaller and smaller, it's like, we can't do this by ourselves. We have to trust God. Oh, what a great place to be. Well, you have to trust God. Amen. Oh, if we could just do that from the beginning. Amen. Hallelujah. God had to get Moses off in the desert to unlearn everything that he learned. Amen. He had to prepare him and burn out of him all the learning of the Egyptians. He had to be prepared for his task. Amen. He had to be equipped. Same with Paul, Saul, right? He had to have all that old Pharisee ways burned out of him. He had to go out in the desert and God had to prepare him and equip him. But he did. He gave him what he needed. Amen. And he made him a certain way. He gave him a certain temperament, but yet put it under control of the Holy Ghost. Because that was what was needed. Amen. Brother, sister, sometimes it's so hard for us, you know, to accept that you are what God is looking for. Amen. You say, oh, I'm trying to be a witness to my family, but surely somebody else in my family, you know, why me? There's got to be somebody better than me. But you're the one that's there. Amen. And he'll give you what you need. And our tendency is to beat ourselves up and, oh, I didn't do this good enough and I'm not good at that and I can't do this and I can't. But if you're just what God made you and you surrender to him, let him do the rest. Amen? Paul had boldness like a lion. Amen? He wasn't afraid to face down Peter and the other apostles and say, hey, that's wrong. Nobody else was doing that. Amen? Nobody else had the guts to stand up and tell Peter to his face that he was wrong. But you know what? Peter was wrong. And Peter admitted it. But Paul had to be made a certain way to do that. And, you know, there were probably other times where he rubbed people the wrong way because of that. Right? Man, that Paul guy, he's a little rough around the edges. But he had to be that way. God made him that way. God gave him what he needed to be a lion in that age and stand for the word and lay the foundation of the church. Amen. To take stripes. Over and over and over again. To be shipwrecked. To be cast in jail. To be persecuted. And still press on. And still have a heart and a love for God's people. But be willing to confront unbelief and not let it slip. God made him that way. Amen. We serve a good God. Amen. He isn't going to leave you ill-equipped. Wherever you are, whatever family, whatever group of acquaintances, school, work, wherever you've been placed, God has equipped you. Amen. To live a victorious Christian life wherever you are. Do you believe that tonight? Let's just read some things here. As I said, I wanted to just read some statements here that would maybe bless you. We'll mix in some scriptures with it as well. This is from To Take on the Whole Armor of God. It says, so when God, the first battle that was ever fought, was not fought on earth, it was fought in heaven. Michael and his angels against Lucifer. And they were kicked out of heaven. We read that about that this morning. Amen. And they were kicked out of heaven. And then that great army of the devil and all of his imps fell upon the earth. And God knew there was going to be a battle. He knew, I believe he knew from the very beginning everything that ever would be. For God is infinite. And he knew every flea that would be on the earth, every gnat, and how many times it would bat its eye, and how much tallow they'd all make together. You know, brother, sister, we don't understand what it means to be infinite, what it means to be God, to know all things. We sell him short far too much. Amen? I don't even know how many gnats are in my backyard, let alone all the world, let alone all the world in all time. Let alone all the world in all time and how many times it would bat its eye. Amen? And I'm going to tell God how to conduct his business? So the infinite God is going to choose for his army the best weapon that could be given. But no, we want to tell God what's best. No, we think this weapon is better. No, he gave his army the best equipment that it could ever use. Ever use, and never would have to be changed. He's never changed it since. You don't improve it, it remains the same all the time. It's God's word that he's fortified his people with. No matter how many things Satan ever gets. You see, I was talking at the beginning, I was giving Satan some props, right? Hey, he's improved. He's had time to hone his craft and to get better at it. God didn't have to do that. He's already so far beyond Satan. Amen. Satan can never reach him. Amen. So, you know, we'll give him some of his props, but he's like a gnat. The G is silent. When it comes to God, amen? He says no matter how many things Satan ever gets, or how many things any other army ever gets or anything, it can never take the place of God's first choice, his word. He gave them his word, his promise, and said, stay with it. And that's the best that could be known. Amen. Now the enemy knew as long as the human race stayed with that word, he'd never be able to touch them. And that's still true tonight. As long as you stay with the word, he can never touch you. He says, I'm beginning to feel religious right now. As long as the human race stayed with the word, God fortified his family on the earth, his army in the fort of his word. And that is our fortress. The name of the Lord is a mighty tower. The righteous run into it and are safe. They are fortified. The Lord is the word. They are in there fortified and safe forevermore. As long as the human race stays in the word. As long as the church stays in the word, it's fortified and there's nothing going to bother it.
Amen.
Amen. Why wouldn't we take advantage of that? Amen. Amen. From the message To Take on a Whole Armor of God, he says, Paul here is speaking and is talking about preparing a soldier for battle. The gospel has many leans and you can liken it unto one thing or another. And Paul speaks of it as a runner. In Hebrews chapter, the 12th chapter, seeing that we are compassed about with such a great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that easily besets us. He's speaking there of the Olympics or perhaps the Roman circus. And so now he's speaking of armored men going into battle and how he's got to prepare himself. I was thinking this afternoon that we're closing out here in this armory today, that I would take that for a text to take on the whole armor of God. Be equipped. Amen? Be equipped. Be ready. That's the call for us tonight. Be equipped. Be ready. Because we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against Satan, God's enemy, principalities and wickedness and evil spirits, wickedness in high places. And we're pressing toward the mark of the high calling, and we are certainly in a battle. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. If he can get you to just forget that you're in a battle and let down your guard, amen, he has an opportunity to attack. That's why we've got to be ready. Amen? We've got to be equipped. We've got to be aware of the enemy and his devices. Amen. In John chapter 14, Jesus said this. He said, "If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever." That is a comfort. Amen. Remember the two things that I said we want to take encouragement from tonight. That we are equipped and that we are not alone. Amen. He said, "I will pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but you know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. And I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you." Amen. Amen. "I will not leave you without a comforter," he says. "I will come to you." Amen. In those times of trial, lean on these words. He is your comforter. "Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but you shall see me. Because I live, you shall live also. And at that day you shall know that I am in the Father, and you in me, and I in you. And he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. And I will love him, and will manifest myself to him." Amen. It's such an encouragement to know and to be reminded, I am not alone. Because one of the tactics of your enemy is to, whenever there's a herd of sheep, the wolf wants to get the sheep away. Right. Away from the shepherd. Right. Away from the rest of the sheep. Away from the flock. Right. Get them isolated.
Right.
Amen? And that's where the enemy can work his mind battles on you.
Right.
He gets you isolated away from the flock.
Right.
Away from fellowship.
Yeah.
Amen? And then his attacks, he can start to land those blows because your defenses aren't up.
Right.
Amen? And he can start to play in your mind a narrative that he wants you to believe.
Right.
Amen? And you don't have that word fighting against it. You don't have your brothers and sisters around you praying for you. Maybe they're praying from you from afar. Amen. But if you're isolating, if you're staying away, if you're staying out of church,
right.
Amen, you don't have that atmosphere around you.
Right.
Amen. That continually washes those things away and does battle for you.
Right.
So he tries to get you alone, or convince you that you're alone, or convince you that no one cares, that nobody loves you. Amen.
Amen.
That's one of the worst tactics that a suicide devil will use, is convince somebody that nobody wants them, that the world will be better off without them. That is a lie. That is from hell. Amen. Hebrews 13, verse 20 says, "Now, the God of peace, that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, that God will make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." Amen. The good shepherd. Amen. The great shepherd of the sheep. But verse 21, it says that he, that great shepherd, our God of peace, is making you perfect. Amen? And now perfect means, that doesn't mean that you're never going to make a mistake. But to make perfect means to equip you. That word there, that word in the Greek actually means to prepare you, to equip you, to clothe you, to give you what you have need of, to bring you to completion and maturity.
Amen.
Amen. To fit you. Oh, it's glorious. Amen. So he's promised that. to make you perfect, to give you what you have need of, for every good work to do his will. You say, I can't do this. I can't live us. He's the one that gives you what you need.
Amen.
Amen. If you can't do it, it's because you're trying to do it. Instead of surrendering to him. And he is working in you. I just love that.
Amen.
So, oh, it's me. I'm doing it. No, he is working in you.
Amen.
That which is well-pleasing in his sight. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Luke chapter 24, verse 45. Says, then he opened their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. Oh, that's a beautiful scripture right there.
Uh-huh.
That's a beautiful picture in the Bible. Amen? One moment, their eyes are blind. They have no idea what's going on. And the next moment, he opens their understanding.
Amen.
Well, can he do that today?
Amen.
Absolutely.
Amen.
Not only can he, but he promised.
Amen.
If you would ask.
Amen.
Amen. You don't understand something in the Word, ask.
Right.
Pray about it.
Amen.
Amen. He opened their understanding, that they might understand the Scriptures, and said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all the nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. You see, he's going to equip his church. He's giving them revelation and he's saying, wait and I'll give you power. I'm going to give you what you need. If they didn't need it, why did he send it? Why did he say, wait for it? Why did he say, go get it? 2 Corinthians 10:4, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. We got to remember this. Amen. You need to encourage yourself in this. The weapon of my warfare is mighty. Amen. It's not carnal, but it's mighty. And it will pull down strongholds. Strongholds of what? Of the enemy. Philippians 2:13, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. He's giving you that you have need of to be able to live his word.
Amen.
To live his will. Amen?
Yes, amen?
From it is the rising of the sun, he said, you can do nothing without me, but with me you can do all things. He's quoting. As he is in the word, it's the Father living. Father sent me, and so send I you. As the Father has fired me. He's not saying he fired like fired from a job. He's fire from life, right? And push me into everything. I only do that which is pleasing to God. Now, as he sent me, so send I you. With the same mechanics. And it takes the same dynamics to operate it. And these signs shall follow them that claim to have the mechanics. The dynamics will take its place. You see, God gave us the mechanics and the dynamics. The mechanics being, right, it's the framework, the word, the truth of God's word. Amen? And the dynamics is the life that comes with it. Right? It's the anointing on it that makes it live. The word by itself is not enough. There must be the life to accompany the word. Amen? And so that's what he's talking about when he says mechanics versus dynamics. He doesn't explain it here, but he explains it other places. Amen. Mechanics, it's like all the mechanical parts of a car. But the car's got to have some fire somewhere. Right? It's got to have some fuel, and then it's got to have a spark to light that fuel, and then there's an explosion and combustion. And that's dynamic. Then things start to move. Right? You've got all the beautiful mechanics, but nothing is moving. What good is it? But what good is it to have a fire if there's nothing mechanical hooked up to it to make it move? Or to move, right? So you have to have both. Mechanics and dynamics. Paul said the gospel came to us not in word only, through gasoline only, but through spark also to make it move. There you are. It came to us in that manner. It's the same Spirit that raised him up, that quickened the true believer to eternal life. Now remember, potentially, now watch, as we are getting out of our time, notice the same Spirit, Romans 8:1. Let's just read that again in Romans 8:1 and see what it says. 8:11, he says. In Romans 8:11, but if there is the problem, there's his catch. If the Spirit of God, is Romans, right? If the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead, dwell in you. Now there you are. If the bridegroom's Spirit dwells in the bride. Amen. That's what he gave us. Amen. That's what he equipped us with. Amen. Amen? If that same Spirit dwells in you, then it shall also quicken your mortal body. Amen? Amen? That's all that's needed. Oh, but we need this. And we no. If that same Spirit dwells in you. Amen. He knows what we need. Amen. From putting on the whole armor of God, the next one there. Hope this is okay if I just read some of these things here tonight. Be a blessing to you. He says he knew what his army needed. That's the reason he equipped them with the Holy Ghost. They knew they'd have to have him. Yes, sir. He'd know to be an effective witness. To witness his resurrection, they would have to have the Holy Ghost. He gave them what they needed. Amen? Now, he said in Mark 16, go into all the world and preach the gospel. In other words, demonstrate the power. And these signs shall follow them that accept the gospel. See, not just say intellectual words. No. They couldn't do that with intellectual words. That word has to be made flesh, manifested. Amen. These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils, speak with new tongues, take up serpents, drink deadly things, lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Amen? Amen. Demonstrate the power of the Holy Ghost. The word made manifest. These things I'm telling you will come to pass, like quickening the word, come to pass. You have the power of the Holy Spirit in you. It's not you, it's the Holy Spirit doing it. Now, to be an effective witness of God, you have to have the Holy Ghost. Because without the Holy Ghost, you can't make it live. You know what you'll do? You'll take some intellectual giant's idea about it and bypass it and say that was just for the apostles. So what he's saying is, without the Holy Ghost, you'll substitute something else in there. Amen. You'll have to have something else without the Holy Ghost. And so you'll use intellect, man's reasoning, a man's natural substitute for it. But that's what God gave us. That's what he equipped us with. That's why we must have it. Amen. Amen. Continuing on here. He says to take on the whole armor of God. He says, so now God, knowing at this last days there will come intellectual giants. There will come everything intellectual. All kinds of the enemy with reasoning powers. To try to prove to the church that the days of miracles is past and all of this. God packed in the baptism of the Holy Ghost with what? Greater intellect. Better reasoning. More education. Better arguments. No. Things like speaking with tongues, interpretation of tongues, prophecies, gifts, all kinds of things. They may seem hard in training, but brother, on the battlefront, every one of them's got to be used. God equips his soldiers exactly with what it takes to use. He's just talking about things of the Spirit, right? Living in the Spirit. He said, oh, they might say learn psychology. That won't work. That's thin as a broth made out of the shadow of a chicken that starved to death. Brother Doug's always trying to find that phrase, and he never quite gets it right, huh? You're listening, Brother Doug. This is it right here. It's thin as a broth made out of a shadow of a chicken that starved to death. That's pretty thin. Broth is thin to start with. Amen? But it just out of a shadow, and a thin shadow at that. He says, so that's no good. We have to have power of the Holy Ghost coming upon a man with all those nine spiritual gifts dwelling in him. Well, you say, I just don't like to get out. I don't like to pray all night. Well, you're going to get killed out on the battlefront. Amen. I don't want to live in the spirit. I don't want to pray. I don't want to fight a spiritual battle. You're going to get killed. Amen. He says, you stay there till God equips you with the baptism of the Spirit. Then everything you've got need of in this world or the world to come lives right in you. Amen. The all-wise God knew how to equip his army. Amen. He equipped it with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and that's exactly what he sent for these last days. He knew that we'd have to have it. He knew that the people would reason, that they would go to reading this word when it become in print out here, what would happen. And today we find people saying, well, now where is the God of history? Where is the God that crossed the Red Sea? Where is the God that healed the sick? And on and on and on. And they try this argument and they look up this fact and they try and prove it with this archaeological thing and that. Either he's alive or he's not. Amen. Either he's the resurrected Christ or he isn't. Amen? How do you know Christ is resurrected? Because I've met him. Because he has filled me with his Spirit. That's how I know. Before, I believed it intellectually, but when he came, then I knew. Amen. And that's what it takes. Amen? You know, Brother Doug has been taking that serious. What the church needs, right? That's what it takes. That's what the church needs. From the paradox, he says, it was Moses who was trained in all the wisdom of the Egyptians. He could teach the Egyptians science and so forth. So he had all the learning, right? But that wasn't what God required. That wasn't what was required for the job. He said it certainly was a paradox how that God equipped the man. Look, all of his education, everything he had, it took 40 years to educate him. Then it took God 40 years to get it out of him. See? You got to get the man out of the water before you can get the water out of the man, see. Took him 40 years to take out of him what he had learned. And he found out that what he had wouldn't deliver Israel. And that's what he was born for. He didn't have no choice of that. God called him for that. And we find out it took 40 years to get it out of him. God is going to equip his man, amen, or woman. He's going to equip his children for the job that he's placed them for. Amen. He says sometimes when a man really follows the commandments of God, he does things that seem to be kind of, I guess, mental to the other man. Jesus was considered a madman, but he was doing exactly what the Father told him. He was the Word manifested, yet he was called a madman. Look at Moses with his wife Zipporah sitting on a mule and Gershom on her hip, 80 years old, white beard hanging down to his waistline, his bald head shining in the sky with a crooked stick in his hand. Going down to Egypt to take over. Could you imagine that? Where are you going, Moses? Going down to Egypt to take over? How do you know you are? The Lord told me to. What do you got to do it with? Moses? A stick? And Almighty God? Amen? That was enough. That was more than enough. God gave him what he needed. Amen. Moses, here's a stick. That's all you need. I'll go with you. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Now Moses, after God had given him 40 years more of teaching, 80 years old, could you imagine how ridiculous to the carnal mind this would be? Here was Moses in the presence of the burning bush. He was better equipped in 5 minutes in the presence of God than 80 years of schooling had given him. I hope that don't hurt, but I hope it sinks in. See, in the presence of God, 5 minutes gave him more knowledge of God and better equipped him than 80 years of schooling. Brother, we don't need so much theology. We need neology. That's right. 5 minutes in the presence of that burning bush. 80 years he'd shunned. 40 years on the desert running. And 5 minutes in the presence of God in the burning bush. And he was ready to go. And you know, brother, sister, that's true tonight. I don't care how long you've attended a church. You might have cut your teeth on a pew, as they say, right? Born in church. Gone to church, you know, twice a week since you were born. Heard every sermon that's out there. Know the Bible, know the message inside and out. But yet, for all of that, somebody who has just come in 5 minutes in his presence. If you haven't had that 5 minutes in his presence, they've got something that you don't have. Amen. That 5 minutes in his presence is worth more than a lifetime of just sitting on a church pew. Amen. Convinced and then concerned, he says, "See, there's no bird that can follow an eagle." He's talking about being specially made. You'd say, "Oh, a hawk, aye, but that hawk try and follow an eagle, he'll disintegrate in the air." He couldn't follow that eagle, even if he had to, because the eagle can go so far that the hawk can't even get to, and before he can go there, he has to be built so he can stand it. The higher you go, the further away you can see, like astronauts and so forth. The higher you go, the further you can see, if you are equipped to see. Right? There's the key. What good would it do for the eagle to go way up high there if he couldn't see after he got up there? So I think that's the way many of us trying today to lift up into something when we're not first equipped. Oh God, give me the gift of this and do this and that. Why don't you get it? Why? You're not equipped for it. You wouldn't do no good after you got up there. And when you do, and if you did try to lift yourself up, you'd only bring what I call today what's hurt our church more than anything else, a carnal comparison. And really what he's talking about is people that seek after gifts of the Spirit without the giver. Right? What good would it do for you to manifest some great gift if you haven't met the pillar of fire yourself? Amen. If you haven't been filled with his Spirit, if you haven't been born again, amen, it's just a carnal impersonation. But those that have, he's equipped them, amen. Conflict between God and Satan. God knew this great warfare was coming between right and wrong, and he knew what the enemy was going to do. And so he knew just exactly how to equip his people. Do you believe that tonight? You believe that you've been equipped? Because the one who equipped you knew ahead of time the tactics of your enemy. He knew exactly how your enemy would attack you at every point, and he gave you what you needed. So if we notice, the very first thing that God equipped his children was being infinite. He knew what it took to defeat Satan anytime, any place, anywhere, on any conditions. Now, he wouldn't say, "I'll give them something here, and then a few years later, I'll study it out and give them something better," then after a few years. But God, at the beginning, gave his children the atomic weapon. Not literally an atomic weapon, but figuratively, right? The atomic weapon just trumps everything else. There's no other weapon they can compare to it, right? That's what he's likening his word to. God just, at the beginning, gave them the best. He said he's the infinite God. Seeing there was going to be a conflict, there was going to be a battle, God equipped his children with the right ammunition, right kind of attack, the right kind of everything they had need of that would sweep them all the way from Eden to the rapture. Amen. What is it? The Word. The Word. That's what defeats Satan, is the Word. It'll defeat him anywhere, any place. So simple, right? Amen. Amen. Now, why do we want to substitute something else when we've already got the best thing there is? We find Jesus on earth just to prove that this was the best equipment. When Satan come in hand-to-hand combat with Jesus, he never just reached over with his power and tied his hands. He took the same weapon that God gave in the Garden of Eden, his word. He showed you that the weapon is more than able. Amen. then it's more than up to the task. He said, it's written. It's written. And he punched him right out of the ring with it. That's right. Because it's God's best. And look where it is. It's not just for one or two in a church. It's for every one of us. Every believer has a right to take this word and fight the enemy anywhere you meet him. Anywhere you meet the enemy, this word is what you have to use. And Jesus proved it when he came. So he equipped his children with the word for their protection against the enemy. When the all-out warfare comes and the battles and it's set in array, there's only one thing a soldier can use, a real Christian soldier. That's thus saith the Lord. Walk right out there and meet the enemy. And with the assurance. You've got to have confidence tonight. With the assurance that nothing, 1,000 may fall at your right, 10,000 on the left, but it won't come nigh thee. Just remember, God made the statement and give this to his children. The best that's ever yet been.
Amen.
Amen, amen. Just a couple more scriptures and then we'll finish here tonight. Ephesians 2:8 says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast, for we are his workmanship. Created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. You have been created. When you've been born again, you're a new creation, and you've been created in Christ Jesus to good works. Amen. You've been equipped. You've been equipped, and God has ordained that you should walk in them. Amen. Luke 4:17, and there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah, and when he opened the book, he found the place where it is written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, and he has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, recovering of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book, gave it again to the minister, and sat down, and the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. Amen. He quoted the scripture, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach to the poor. Amen. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Jesus, your Savior, had a mission. He had a task. Amen. He had a battle to fight. And he was equipped for the battle. The Spirit was given to him for that purpose. That anointing was upon him for that purpose. That's what he said. Amen. He said, this day the scripture is fulfilled in your ears. And we know in 2 Kings 2:9, it came to pass when they were gone over, Elijah said unto Elisha, what shall I ask for thee before I be taken away from thee? And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be on me. He had a task. He had a job to do. He had a battle to fight. And he needed to be equipped. And God gave him what he needed. He gave him a double portion of what was on Elijah. Why? Just for fun? Just because he could? Well, he asked for it and I thought it'd be cool if he did, more miracles than Elijah. No, he needed it. It was for a purpose. Ephesians 4:11, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and pastors and teachers. He gave for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body. He gave these things for the perfecting of you and I, for the work, for the edifying, for our benefit, because we needed it. Amen. Till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man. Perfect, equipped, edifying, building up. Amen? He's building up, edifying, giving for the equipping. That's what we're doing here tonight. We're equipping you. Amen? It's not that you didn't have it before, but we're just trying to show you what you have. Amen? We're trying to remind you what you possess. That you've got an atomic bomb, spiritually speaking. Amen. That you've got a weapon of your warfare. that cannot be defeated. Amen. So often, brother, sister, we fall into the trap of thinking, I need something else. I need something different. I need something more. Right? In the Bible, Naaman fell into that trap, right? Naaman came, he was a great general, and he had leprosy, right? And the Israel slave girl said, well, there's a prophet, go and inquire of the prophet and you can be healed. And the prophet of God sent his messenger and said, go dip down in the Jordan. 7 times go dip in the river. And Naaman was like, come on, man. I'm a great general of a great army and I have leprosy. This is serious. And he's not even taking me serious. He's saying, just go down into the waters of this muddy river. Don't we have better waters, better rivers at home? Don't we have greater things that we could do? Don't we have great magicians and great scientists? And he wants me to go down to a muddy river and just dip myself in the river 7 times? He was looking for something beyond. But he had God's word. And the little slave girl said, look, sir. She was giving him some common sense, right? Look, if it was something great, you'd go do it. This is a pretty easy thing. Don't you think that maybe you ought to just try it? It's right here in your hand. He's not asking you to go to some mountaintop or something. That river's right here. You could just do it. You could just be obedient to God's word. Amen? You might maybe just trust God. I mean, what a concept. No, I've got to do this. Well, maybe you could just trust God. Maybe just believe what he's already given you. What he's already placed in your hand. Maybe use that. Maybe see what that will do in your life. No, I've got to, it's got to be this, and we're looking for this great sign, and oh, man, if we can just pull this revelation out of the word and make this, well, how about read your Bible and pray? Maybe, just maybe, see what that will do in your life. Come to church faithfully. Do the little things that you're supposed to do and see what happens. See how God blesses it. Just take the simple word and apply it in your life every single day. Amen? Simply believing it. We've got to keep our eyes on the prize, brother, sister. Amen? We can't be distracted, pulled away, and fighting battles that aren't ours to fight and to, drawn off into other things. The enemy would love nothing more than to get your eyes off the target. We have the word. Amen. Amen. His word has been vindicated to us over and over and over and over again. It's been revealed. It's been restored. We have his spirit. We have everything that we need. Amen. Amen. He's given us access to everything. We've just got to take advantage of it. I'm so thankful that we have a good shepherd tonight. Amen. A great shepherd. Amen. Amen. He's watching over his feet. He's a flock, his sheep. He's leading us and guiding us. Amen. Amen. And he's anointed us for this hour. Amen. He's provided for us what we need in this hour. The Bible speaks of this time, an anointing that would be poured out. The Bible says whenever the enemy comes in like a flood, he raises up a standard against it. God knows the tricks of the enemy, and whatever the enemy comes against you with, he's got an answer already. But we've got to have confidence in him. Amen. To stand on it and to use it. Amen. To hold the sword of the Spirit by faith and hold on to it and not waver. Amen. Let's stand tonight. Hallelujah. Let's just bow our heads. Father, we just thank you once again for your word, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that you're such a loving Father. Lord, you're looking out for your children. Lord, and we know we have confidence in you tonight, Lord. Lord, that you haven't left out any good thing that we might have need of, Lord. That you've given us, Lord, just exactly what we need to overcome in this time that we live in, Father.
Amen.
Lord, forgive us, Lord, for the times when we have tried to look for substitutes or look for maybe a shiny thing or something that's more appealing to us, Lord, than just the simplicity, Lord, of what you've placed in our hands. The simplicity of your word, the simplicity of obedience, Lord, just to the little things, to look after the things that seem to the world to be little things, but yet to you, Lord, they're foundational, important things that lead to victory in our lives. Father, I thank you, Lord, that we don't have to worry about whether we are equipped to fight our enemy. We just have to lean on you, Lord, and let you have your way. To trust and obey. To rely on your spirit, Lord, and not our strength and not our ability. How we are so thankful for that tonight, Lord. I'm trusting you to get us all the way, Lord. I can't get myself ready for a rapture. I can't get myself ready for anything, but Lord, you can. And I trust that you are. If we will just be in obedience day by day and do the little things before us. Thank you, Father. We love you so much, Lord. Father, I just pray that you would, if there are any here tonight, Lord, maybe their confidence has waned, oh God, in you, your word. Maybe they've been chasing after other things, Father. Lord, that they would just come back to the simplicity of obedience to the gospel. How we thank you, Lord. I pray that you just be with each one here tonight. Lord, as we just worship you and we meditate on your word, Lord, it's so sweet to us. It's such an encouragement, Lord, to know that we're not alone, that you're with us every step of the way, and you're equipping us, Father, for tomorrow and the next day and the next day. Bless your name, Lord. Forgive us, Lord, for not worshiping you enough, Lord. When you mean everything to us, I can't take another step without you, Lord. I know that I need you. I need you now, I need you tomorrow. And I need you the day after that, Lord. But I also know that I know that I know that you'll be there. You'll be there tomorrow and you'll be there the day after that. Because you're always faithful. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for always being there, Lord. And I know that you'll be there. Bless your name. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Hallelujah. We could sing this tonight. Jesus is mine. He's been my fourth man in the fire. He's always been there. Hallelujah. Born of his spirit, washed in his blood, and what he did.
fail. I trust him. Oh, do you trust him tonight? Hallelujah. The one who will never fail. He will never fail. Perfect submission. All is at rest. I know the trusting God, my Savior.